This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listener.
Welcome to this week's edition of Roots and Shoots, wherein we might have a little bit of a chat about how to plant for biodiversity.
Well, you know, you can do just little simple things. Hello, Amber.
Hi. How was your birthday party?
Oh, my heavens above. I danced for hours and could still walk the next morning. It was quite remarkable, really.
Did you have many staying at your house, many of your fam?
Just one, two, three, four.
Only four?
Yeah. Well, three and a half, because one of them was only 3 years old.
Oh, baby girl.
Yeah. But it was so much fun.
You are amazing.
You have to have music. If you want a good party, you have to have music.
Did you have a DJ?
I had Johnny Frog.
Who's that?
Johnny Profumo, the frog doctor.
Oh.
He actually, because it was the theme was what you would find in a garden, he came as a frog.
Oh. You haven't sent me a photo of your outfit.
Oh, my God. The one I made myself. It was pretty specky.
Hot glue gun.
Yeah, hot glue gun and lots of sewing because some of the stuff you just couldn't fit on hot. It just didn't
stick. So were you
stick.
In a unitard with things glued to you?
I was in a frock. A top and a frock.
Here she is. Oh, my goodness, mate. It's like Father Christmas in a vase.
Yeah, I was like a vase of flowers. All those friggin' flowers. And notice I had a spider. I had a spider on my shoulder.
She's dressed in floral. She's, what are you? You're a garden fairy.
And that's my little granddaughter who was dressed as a little garden fairy. And I had lots of little kids and they all ran around. Oh. They were all little fairies. And my beautiful Jess, she came as a pot plant with a string of pearls.
Okay. She's, got a lot of peas.
And her partner, Adam, came as a pickle.
Beautiful.
But the cracker of the night was the compost tumbler, which would have been very, very difficult to keep on all night long. It was like a proper compost tumbler with the back cut out.
Oh, my goodness.
And he even had the turning thing on top of his head, how you could turn it.
It looks like a lot of fun was had by all. 1-300-222-720 is the number. If you would like to ask Sabrina a question, do not be shy. Lots of texts coming in. We prioritise calls, though, I'm afraid.
We do.
We have Nola on the line. Good morning, Nola.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Amber, and good morning, Sabrina.
You're an aspirant.
Oh, yes. Beautiful Esperance.
It is, and it's a lovely 23 degrees down here today. So
beautiful. Beautiful.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous, but I'm not ringing about Esperance. I'm ringing for my son.
Oh, you're a good mum.
Who has a mango tree.
Yep.
Huge mango tree in his backyard. It's absolutely beautiful shade tree. And he doesn't want to damage it, but the roots are in getting under the patio, under the pavers.
Oh, okay, yep.
And he's just wondering if it would be okay to cut them.
Depends how many, Nola. Now, the thing with the mango tree is it has quite a few roots, so it's not just one tap root that goes down, so that's okay. I wouldn't if he can just cut the one root, that's probably better than taking three of them out because that's going to affect that root system will be servicing at some part of the tree. Up the top. So one you'll get away with pretty well, but I wouldn't go more than one choppy chop of the root system.
Okay. All right. Chop. Well, if he can track it back, I guess, from where it's lifting the pavers.
Yeah. So all he needs to do is lift those pavers up. You get a recip saw and you just cut through that root system. And if he can leave it exposed, so don't put soil in the paving back on that where he's severed the root off straight away. You want that to dry out a bit, otherwise there's a risk of rot.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right.
What a good mum.
Okay, well, give it a go then. He's not going to kill it.
No.
Thank you, Nola. Good luck with that. And we have Jo in Carnarvon. Hi, Jo.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What's your question for Sam?
I just want to know how to sow desert rose seeds, please.
Okay, so good time of the year to do it now. And you have to have misting and you have to – what a lot of people do is they use those polystyrene boxes and then they put either a glass panel or plastic over the top of it as long as the sunlight can get through, but you're not going to raise it in sunlight. It needs to be a really well-lit area. So humidity is the big kabang. So you collect the seeds, you sprinkle the seeds on a seed-raising mix, and then you lightly cover that with vermiculite or perlite. You mist, spray it, and you put a lid on top.
Perspex.
Right.
Yeah, Perspex.
How much water?
Enough for it to be damp but not wet, like a wrung out sponge.
What's the finger test?
Don't want to be poking your finger in there.
Okay.
Do I get rid of the feather parts of the seed?
Leave those on. You can leave the feathery bits on.
Okay. You did say a particular mixture, potting mixture. What was that again, please?
Well, you've got to use a seed raising mix, which is basically cocoa peat and vermiculite or perlite, but you can buy it in a bag even in Carnarvon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Seed raising mix.
Good luck with that.
Seed raising mix. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jo. Elizabeth is in East Fremantle. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello. I called enough time about my ivy infestation and you gave me some hints and tips,
yes.
And I've been doing that.
Yep.
But I've got a series of banksias, very tall banksias, going along my west side.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled back all the ivy and it's got very thick trunks, roots crawling up it. Everything's dead, but it's really hard to get off. So I called a garden chap in to see how to deal with it. He suggested I chop the tree down to, like, I don't know, a metre and a half where there are some shoots at the bottom and let it start again. But it's like 3-4 metres high.
No.
And at the top I've got all the beautiful leaves and everything for about a metre.
Nope. If you do that, then your Banksia is going to die.
That's what I thought.
So he's given you a bit of a bum steer there, but he might be selling reciprocating swords. I'm not too sure. but I would not do that, Elizabeth. I think you're going to lose your Banksia.
Okay.
You can certainly take a third off the top, but no more than that.
But the third off the top.
Leaves you just the
leaving,
yeah,
leaving.
Is the good bit.
Yeah.
But if you only take that much off, then it will reshoot down further down the trunk.
Okay.
But you can't take 2/3 off because you'll kill the Banksia.
Okay. All right. That's very good information. Right. I
good luck with that.
Plan
good
A,
good time just... to, yeah. If you want to prune, it's a good time to do it next month.
Well done on getting a second opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
thank you very much. I knew where to go.
You did. Good girl. Be like Elizabeth. 1-300-222-720 is the number to call. We have a couple of lines free. Paul is in Durian Bay or close by, and we have a picture of some agave. Is that an agave? Oh.
Let's have a
gather.
Hello, Paul.
Good morning, Sabrina.
G'day, Paul.
So, as you'll see on that photo, right in the middle, it used to be a ficus, and I've chopped the ficus down because it was dropping nuts on the roof and cracking the concrete.
Yeah.
But since then, those have appeared.
Yuckers.
Oh, yuckers.
Yeah.
Condolences.
Are they a problem?
Yep.
And what should I do with them?
Kill them. Now, see, the problem is those yuccas are right on a footpath, I can see. So everyone that walks along there, rides there, pushes a stroller there, is going to get their eyeballs poked out with the nasty little tips on the ends of the leaves. And they're bloody ugly, hideous, horrible, have no...
Not a redeeming feature.
Not a single redeeming feature. And they're an absolute bastard to dig out. So, but you're on a footpath. I'd come through with a little front end loader and just rip them right out.
Yeah, and if I get a bobcat and dig that that bulb out from the ficus, will that rip up the concrete and all that?
Well, I'd have a recip saw on the hand ready. When a bobcat comes through, you'll see if it goes underneath the paving, which it probably hasn't because you've got all the green lawn and the other green bits and it prefers to collect water. The ficus prefer water under the lawn than underneath a paver. So you should be okay.
Oh, okay. No, no, thank you. I will endeavour to get rid of that.
Yep.
My wife's saying, I don't want that in the front day, so.
Good, she's a woman of taste.
and if I can, just one quick question.
Yep.
I have a frangipani in the corner of the garden.
Yeah.
And, I'll put you on, turn that off, sorry. Frangipani, do they have a big root system?
No.
And what?
No. So hardly any root system.
Oh, okay. No, thank you. That's answered my question. So it can be dug out and removed.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem.
Beautiful. Thanks, Paul. Shelley is in Mandra. Good morning, Shelley.
Oh, hi. Hi, Amber and Sab.
Hi, Shelley.
This is another mother with a mango, her son's mango question.
how lovely. We've got all the mums this morning ringing up for their sons.
So I sent a photo.
Yep, got it.
There it is.
Yep.
Nice fence.
And I've got
the stratty fence. Nice fence.
So, three questions.
Yes.
We need to chop it off like it's not getting any branches.
Yeah.
And when I Googled it, they said we should have chopped it off about 6 weeks after we planted it, but we didn't. So.
No, it doesn't matter. Chop it off now. Oh, not now. Oh, we might get another heat wave. Can you wait until the end of March?
Well, that was my other question, when, because Google said spring or early summer, but that's ages off.
So. Yeah, and you don't want to prune anything in Western Australia early summer, because particularly mango trees, they're susceptible to sunburn. So end of March, definitely whoop, off with its head.
Okay.
Oh, perfect.
A third.
And how tall?
A third. Take a third off its head. Would you concur, young Amber?
The second opinion here.
Yep.
Definitely a third.
Yep.
Yep. Go for a third.
Definitely a third.
Yep.
And then when the branches are going to grow out of where we chopped it off.
And below.
Yeah. Okay. And how many do we keep?
Well, you've got to make sure it doesn't get too top heavy, so you wouldn't want more than three.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much. I will pass all this on to my husband.
Good woman, Shelley.
Gardener.
Oh.
Thank you.
He's a lucky boy, your son. What's your son's name?
Josh.
Josh, get out in the garden, do some work, son. Shelley, thank you for that. Patty is in East Vic Park. Hi, Patty. What's going on with you? Oh, it's another mango tree.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I'm a mango Django dad.
Wow. And it's yours, not your son's tree, not your daughter's tree, your tree?
It's my tree.
Oh, okay.
I've been watching him grow for 6 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and pretty much every, when it's coming to summer, there's a whole lot of fruits, and then come Mr. Heat Wave and Mr. Wind, and
knock
them all down, and I'm left with one.
Oh, Patty.
What
now,
can I do?
So they don't like wind. That is a big thing. And the other thing that people do is when they see the mangoes first developing, they get very excited, go and get the sprinkler, put the sprinkler on and water them. And then the tree goes, I've got plenty of everything, don't need this, and they drop all the fruit. So basically, once you see the fruit forming, don't go out and water every day. The second thing is long before fruit development, you've really got to pump on some sulfate of potash, because that helps them maintain the stem that holds the fruit on. So you can do liquid potassium, or you can do sulfate of potash, put that around. Protection from the wind is very difficult in Perth because we're the third windiest city in the world. Heat waves, now they actually cope really well with the heat. When you look at where most of our mango farms are, which is Carnarvon and above, they're used to heat waves, but it's the dry easterly wind that does the damage.
Okay.
So if you can set up a little wind protection, whether that's with plant material or shade cloth or something.
So can
like
I
that.
Pretty much put a giant net around it?
Absolutely you can.
Oh,
wow.
Fine. I'll try that for next one.
Yeah, for next
Thank
season.
You very much.
Okay,
You're
thanks,
welcome.
Patty.
Thanks, Patty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. When do I prune a reed and Hass avocado in Jalorup and by how much, asks Joe.
Okay, so usually we prune our avocados when they finish fruiting. But down at Jalorup, you don't want – so a couple of things. Do not prune your avocado when it's going to rain the next day or the next week. You cannot prune midsummer when it's hot because they get sunburned. A little bit like the old, you know, the old Three Bears and Goldilocks thing. Can't be too wet, can't be too cold, can't be too hot.
Yeah.
But the best time is immediately after fruiting. So depending on – so Hass is probably just about finishing now, so you'd be able to prune that in autumn. What was the other one? Hass and
reed and Hass.
Okay, so reed is just refruiting up now. So you're going to have to wait until spring to prune the reed.
And is it a third again?
No, with reed you can go pretty hard actually.
Okay.
So Hass is basically with avocados you have to be able to reach the fruit. So my reed I cut by 50-60% every few years.
Okay.
Because can't get the fruit.
Okay. Now Shannon is in Spearwood. Good morning, Shannon.
Morning, Amber. Morning, Sabrina.
Morning, Shannon.
Unhappy peppermint tree.
Oh.
Well, half an unhappy peppermint tree.
Yeah.
Variegated.
Yep.
Photos probably aren't fantastic.
No. So is it just one branch? It looks like it's just one side of the tree that's brown.
Yeah, exactly. So there's two main trunks.
Yeah.
And the one on the left then splits into two, and one side of that is fine.
Yeah.
And the rest of it, and one side is dry and crinkly.
I reckon it's borer, not the polyphagus, but the longicorn beetle borer.
That's what I was thinking, because I looked at the trunk and I couldn't see any, you know, coloration or.
I reckon it's borer. I would cut that entire branch off, and then wait until March, okay? So you're going to cut the affected branch off because the borer will be
inside the
trunk, the branch of that. Then you're going to be able to balance the tree, you're going to have to take 50% off whatever's left remaining.
Okay, yeah.
And then so when you cut that branch off, you'll actually see the longicorn beetle. It's got big long feelers. It's quite, you know, it's about 8 centimetres long.
Right.
I know, they're quite, they're not, they're all right, Amber.
No, I'm the problem.
I had to fish this enormous cockroach out of my sink this morning.
Amber, you can feel that crawling over your
But skin, I felt sorry for it because it would have been there all night long and it couldn't get out. So rather than squish it, I actually picked it up and took it outside and said, "You've got a second life, buddy, but don't come back inside."
I got into trouble last time I got like this.
So you think we'll actually see them when we
cut when you're cutting it down, you'll see them drop out. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And this is my sister's lovely tree, but I just look at all
these gardeners.
It's the family hour.
It is. It's so lovely.
What a good sister you are. Spearwood's such an awesome place too. I want to live there.
It's beautiful, and we're lucky. We've got so many large trees around.
What a rare treat in the city of Perth.
And good soil there. Is that right?
Shocking is sand. It's beach sand.
Well, what was all the market gardens there?
Oh, no, but they pumped the fertilizer on.
Oh, okay.
You actually need free draining soil to grow veggies, but they put in, you know, all those early market gardeners just pumped in manure and compost, yeah. And they tended to them like they were their own children.
Hey, Shannon, sister of the year, or sister of the week, maybe. Award for you. Thanks for calling in for your sister.
Thanks so much. Have an awesome day.
You too. 1-300-222-720 is the number to get hold of the woman sitting next to me, whose name is Sabrina Hahn, Justin in Beaconsfield.
No, Bonnyfield.
Bonnyfield? What?
Yeah, Beaconsfield.
No, Beaconsfield. Oh, yeah. We have. Oh, no, I'm looking at Beth, who lives in Bonnyfield. We'll get to you in a minute, Beth. Don't go anywhere.
I mean, I'm easily confused at the best of times. So I just get completely confused. Justin, what ails this brown plant that I'm looking at?
Oh, it looks dead.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, no, that's dead, Justin.
What is it?
What was it?
Eucalyptus cerithocorus.
Ah.
It's kind of the centerpiece of our epic native bird garden. Built for copies of birds. And I don't know, we planted it like 2 years ago. It survived last brutal summer.
Yeah.
With like more neglect than this summer. And then this summer it just started browning and kind of couldn't figure out what was going on, watered it. There's a few cracks, like, at the bottom of the trunk.
Oh, no. That's never good. Cracks at the bottom of an erythrocoris. You don't be wanting that. Yeah. No, she's pretty well buggered. Now, what I want you to do, Justin, is get out your dib-dib-dub-dub pocket knife that you used when you're in the Scouts. I want you to scrape. But this is halfway up the tree. I want you to scrape a piece of the bark off. If there is any green, it may still be alive and it might come back if you water it. If there is just brown, bang, bang, it's a goner.
Yeah, it's looking pretty brown, isn't it? Looks like it sounds crunchy.
A fear I have is, do you think it's like a fungal infection and something, and if I just pull it out, if it is dead, and if I plant something else as an issue, or is that like unlikely?
I think it's in the tree itself. I think there's something gone wrong with the root system. It could be that it's been root bound in the beginning and it's just wrapped around itself and hugged itself to death.
Oh.
It could be fungal, but if it is, Justin, it's going to be more than likely in the tree, not in the soil. So if it's dead, do that, pull it out and have a look at the root system, because quite often we find that the root system hasn't moved. It's still, like, there's been no root growth, and so as the tree has grown, it can't support all that new growth.
Oh, so the top grew and the roots didn't.
Yeah,
perhaps.
So it hasn't been able to sustain itself.
Okay. Good luck with that, Justin. Sorry to be the bearers of terrible news. Condolences.
It's a bit like, you know, when you look at how trees grow rapidly but the root system doesn't, it's like constantly going out for dinner and you just drink the water and you don't have the rest of the stuff that's in the soup. You know, you just...
That's a lovely metaphor.
I always relate things to eating.
Yeah. Nutrients.
Nutrients.
Now, we are going to Bonnyfield this time. Beth is in Bonnyfield. Good morning, Beth.
Hi, ladies.
Hello,
I'm just
Beth.
Wanting to know why my zucchini plants have got so many males and no females. And what I did was cut off half the leaves off some of them because you said to do that with, I think, pumpkin or something.
Yep.
Because there was not, but, you know, obviously you can't, you've got to take the whole leaf off.
Yeah, with a zucchini. Now, it is a thing with zucchini plants that you will always get the males first before the girlies because they like to prep themselves. A little bit of coiffuring, you know, they like to fluff up their little stamens. And yeah, that's peacocking. That's a good way of putting it. And the females usually come quite a bit later. But the good thing is once the female flowers start, then you just keep ripping the male flowers off because you only need one male flower to six.
They've been in for ages.
Oh, have they? Might
since
be
about November or something.
Okay, so I'd be whacking on a bit of trace elements. Either foliar trace elements or you can get the powdered trace elements. Yep.
Thanks.
So give that a go, a little bit of Epsom salts even.
Beautiful. Beth in Bonnyfields.
Yep, great, thanks.
Thank you. And to everyone who's on hold, please just stay on hold for a tiny bit longer.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
And I believe this comes off the back of you being on the dance floor.
Yeah, this was one of my favourite. I busted some really good moves to this. This is called Miss You. It's by New Aspect and Jameis and Poppy Bascom, who's a bit of a, she's a bit of a songer, singer, nice. Singer, songwriter.
I miss you.
Absolute banger there. That was Miss You, Saps Pick of the Week.
Breakfast with Mark Gibson.
Monday, a very special program. At 7:20 a.m, we'll make the switch to 102.5 FM. Tune in, or better still, come to the Murray Street Mall and say hi.
7:20 ABC Radio Perth and WA.
Oh, where it is, Roots and Shoots. And we are crossing, live crossing, to Trigg, where Peter is. Peter, this is your, is this your first live cross?
No.
Well, we were under suspense there.
She's
for a little
so
while.
Deadpan.
Wow. That was good. You build up all that suspense, Peter.
Is it your first rodeo at least? Or have you had a rodeo as well?
No, I've got a problem with my peppermint tree.
Oh.
I planted a whole lot of trees that were well established from the nursery.
Yeah.
But the peppy trees in the middle of a ficifolia and a eucalyptus.
Yeah.
And they're growing sideways.
Yeah.
And the peppy tree has to be trimmed constantly.
Yeah.
And I'm really sad, but I think I'm going to have to cut it back take it out, and will it sprout if I cut it back? I mean, what would you suggest?
Okay, so you know what's really interesting, Peter, is some trees do not like other trees. And they will, even if there's space in between, they will still grow away from that tree. And we don't actually fully understand what it's about. Some trees have a growth suppressant in the leaves or the root system, which prevents other trees from coming near them. Now, the thing about peppy trees is you can severely prune them and you won't kill them. Sometimes they die, but usually not. So before you take the peppy tree out, I would cut it right down and have it as a shrub rather than a tree.
Yes, that was what I was wondering.
Yeah, yeah. So do that, but not until the end of March.
But if the other trees don't like it, that's not going to sort it out though, is it?
But I'm talking cutting it down to, you know, a metre high. One and a half metres. Now, what happens with trees is they will make use of spare space. Where there's sunlight and no interference, they will fill that space within a year.
Okay. So you think, will these trees straighten up or are they just doomed to go sideways now?
No, they will straighten up, but you will have to do a little bit of formative pruning to encourage that. So you may need to take a little bit off the top of them to encourage. So first of all, prune your peppy right down, then take the tops out of the trees that are growing sideways. Once they've got air and space and light in that area, they will produce new growth going into that space.
Perfect. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Glad I called.
Oh, good.
We're glad you called too, Peter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now we're live crossing to Geraldton where Sam and Rogs
hello.
And Julian.
Yeah.
Morning.
Hello, Sam.
Morning, ladies. How are we both?
We are on fire here. Well, not literally, of course. We did have a fire here once, but it was very small and out the front. It was out the front.
Someone tried to burn me down.
Yeah, and we didn't really take much notice of it. We were calm. There was no doubt about that. We were calm.
Oh, yeah, just got on with it.
Yep.
I mean, there are signs on, Sam, there are signs on the back of the dunny doors here that suggest what we should do in the event of some kind of attack. And then in the next cubicle, there's one you should do if the colour of your wee is wrong.
We cover all bases here at the ABC.
What's that?
I'm sure it's sage advice that they're offering you on the back of the doors.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Sage advice indeed. What can we do for you today, Sam?
So, Sabrina, speaking of sage advice, you would remember probably 6 months ago I called up asking what I should do with my mulberry tree.
Oh, yeah, and I said prune it hard.
Yeah, no, so I did.
Yeah.
They've gone exactly back to the same size that they were. Except this time we now haven't got any fruit. So do I need to keep pruning it again, like except go a mid-year or like a mid-summer prune just to keep it down? Or because I kind of do miss my mulberry.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Now, the thing about the mid-summer prune is that if you do it now again, then you should get your fruit coming next, well, the end of this year. Does your mulberry usually fruit in November or more like February?
More around that late January.
Late January. Okay. So prune it now, Sam.
Okay. Excellent. Hopefully. Because they've literally took them 6 months and they're exactly the same size as they were.
Yes. That's the thing about the winter prune encourages growth, summer prune suppresses it.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Yep, so hook in today, Sam.
Good luck, Sam.
Have a good weekend.
Hi to the boys. Now we have Nola. Good morning, Nola.
Good morning. Fancy having two Nolas on in one morning.
I know, that's because amazing. I know, you don't hear Nola anymore.
No, and mine's with an E, N-O-E-L-A.
Oh, Noella.
No, don't you say I've been avoiding that my whole life.
But I think there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I know. Now, I did send a photo in. What yes. I think is a variegated privet.
No, it's a variegated...
ficus?
It's a variegated ficus,
Nola.
How good
am I? Excuse me, I've learnt something.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's, well, the reason that's pretty I special. No, because I've just trimmed off a heap of branches. Well, you know, short branches.
Yeah.
And I want to offer it to my gardening club.
Yeah.
And my local community for cuttings.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure I was offering them the right thing.
Okay, so privets are a declared weed, so don't be offering them privets. But that is a native it's a variegated fig. So it's the variegated ficus hillii.
Okay, excellent. This means I can also bonsai it.
Yes, you can.
You can do what?
Bonsai.
Oh,
So the smaller the cutting, the better if you're going to bonsai it so that you can start training it from small.
Yeah. Mm. And will it, when I'm offering these up, will it grow roots in water or do they need to plant it in soil straight away?
Both. It'll grow roots in water and it'll grow roots in soil.
Oh, look, that's wonderful.
Isn't that marvellous? My pleasure.
Oh, beautiful.
Bye. Bye, Nola. Now, speaking of things that are rare, the very much anticipated Garden Clubs and Societies Plant Fair is on this weekend.
We had a chat to Cactus Bob this morning, but please.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he's my
favourite. I love Bob.
Bob's beautiful.
Hello, Bob. I haven't seen Bob for ages because he's the Succulent and Cactus Society.
Yeah, and he's just happy we call him Cactus Bob and not Succulent Bob.
Oh, yeah. I'd prefer to be a Cactus Bob than a Succulent Bob. But there's all these different societies. Now, the thing is, I get the most amazing Australian orchids. There, not orchids. What do you call them? Ferns. But now the thing about the societies is they're usually, and people won't mind me saying this, you know, they're usually, let's say that they're over 50. So the accumulated knowledge of these people. So whatever it is you grow in your garden, if you want the juice on that particular plant, go to the fair. It's open Saturday and Sunday from 8:30 to 4. Oh, no, Sunday from 9 to 2. It's at the South Perth Community Hall in South Perth. $5 adults. Kiddies free. They have awesome morning and afternoon tea, I can tell you that much. But honestly, these garden clubs, they have rare stuff.
Yeah, and you speaking to the person who grew it. James is in Gosnells. Good morning, James.
Good morning, ladies. How are you? Just a very quick one about your favourite mango tree.
Oh, another mango.
It's mango day.
We had a mango tree in a pot in South Lake for about 2 years and we eventually got one mango. Then we retired to Gosnells and brought it up here and dug it into the ground, and it's been here for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time in 5 years, this year we've been getting some little mangoes, a little bit bigger than table tennis balls.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, can I, and if so, when, can I dig it up and take it to our daughter's place in Golden Bay?
Ooh, isn't this lovely? There's all these parents and sisters that want to help regenerate and grow stuff in their family's gardens. I think this is beautiful.
We tend to have a theme that unfolds over the day, don't we? I think it cascades. People call in and, oh, my child could use with some assistance.
That's right. Let's give her a six-year-old mango
tree.
Good
on you, James.
Okay, so, James, yes, you can, but you will need machinery, okay?
Ooh.
How big is it now?
Oh, good grief. It'd be 2, 4, about 5 metres tall.
You know what, James? What you need to do is go to a nursery and buy her a mango tree.
Okay.
Honestly, okay. James, I think it's going to be very problematic moving that. And you could lose it. In fact, you probably would lose
it. I think Sabrina's probably, that's the biggest favour anyone's going to do you, maybe this whole year, James.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let it die then.
Yeah.
Thanks, James. Kind of sad. Sorry for cutting you off on top of its insult to injury, isn't it? Where are we going now?
Oh, let's go to Tim in Ellenbrook because he's got a yucca and he wants to kill it.
Yep.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Tim. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've got a yucca, and I've got someone coming to remove it this week. I just want to know what I need to do once they've got rid of the hideous thing.
Okay, first of all, you need to stand over and make sure that they have really got rid of it, because I can tell you, I've seen people come in and go, yeah, I can remove that, and then they dig for about, the first 4 hours. And then they just cover it in soil and go, yeah, that's gone. And then 4 months later, pa-ding, up it comes again. So, okay. Now, when they dig it up, root grind it, whatever it is they're going to do, I want you to leave the area exposed for at least 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If there is any sign of life returning, I want you to hit it, paint it with blackberry tree killer and kerosene.
Yep.
That new emerging shoot, which goes, try your hardest, mate, I'm back. You need to make sure that it is fully dead.
Right,
Fully dead.
I have it's in a raised garden bed, which is about a foot high and about a foot deep.
Yeah.
I've also got a bay tree and I think it's Chinese apple.
Yeah,
Should I be getting them to look at that as well? Is that going to become a problem for me in the future?
The bay tree will. The bay tree will actually, it will just migrate through your entire raised bed.
Okay.
I've seen forests of bay trees in people's backyards where they planted, I'd like to have some bay leaves in my spaghetti bolognese, and they've ended up with an entire backyard full of spaghetti bolognese bay tree leaves.
Right. Message received and understood. Thank you, Sabrina.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Tim.
See ya.
Bye. Gerard is in Girrawang. Good morning, Gerard. Is it Gerard or Gerard?
It's Jared. Yeah,
Jared.
Good morning.
Jared. Good morning.
Very well.
I have a Hakea larina.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 1.2 metres tall.
Yeah.
And the leaves are going grey from the tips and just ahead of like the bit where it goes grey, it looks a bit bruised. This is the third time that I've tried them, and I've tried like more water, less water, and they've all done the same sort of thing. Is it a hay cure problem? Is there something in the soil?
I think it's the soil. I think it's the soil, Jared. I think Hakea larina can be really bloody fickle to grow. A lot of the Hakeas are.
Yeah, I did. I tried the Buculenta as well, and that did the same thing. About this time of the year, they just die.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of the heat, but the soil, because the soil is so sandy, I think if you put them in with a big amount of, if you put them in with some clay and some compost, I think that really helps them to develop a much stronger root system. They don't need a lot of compost, only a little bit, but I think the clay is the winner. Is what you need.
I put some clay in with this one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I think it's just I think it's not going to be a water issue because they can, you know, they're very, very drought tolerant. And in some instances, people water them too much. Hakeas are notoriously slow growing. And if we try and push them along a bit, the root system can't sustain the top part. They certainly don't like any, they're a bit like Banksias, they don't want any fertilising.
Oh, okay.
So it might be a combination of all those things, Jared.
Might be just too hard.
There is, there's a beautiful Hakea that's good called Hakea invaginata, and that does well in sandy soils.
All right, cool.
So maybe give that one a crack.
All right. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks Jared.
Kathy in Hilton has just asked for the Garden Clubs and Societies plant fair on today and tomorrow, 8:30 to 4 today, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow at the South Perth Community Hall, which is on the corner of South Terrace and Sandgate Street in South Perth. A great thing to get along to. Tons of societies involved who know their onions and
they
their succulents. They do, don't they? Carl is in Byford. Do you know your bananas, Carl?
Well, I go banana sometimes.
I think Carl's rung in a few times about his bananas.
Yeah.
Well, it's all coming back to me now.
Yeah.
One was a large plant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that that year, which is 2 years ago, we got 93 little bananas off it, and that was really mighty proud of that. And
wow.
And this year it's put up one pup and it just looks very, very like it's struggling. And I remember you saying they're greedy feeders. Could I put some cheap manure on them? Maybe some horse manure
horse,
or something
chicken,
like that.
Horse, chicken, sheep, cow, elephant, whatever poo you can get. They love chicken poo.
Okay, so I could get something like Rooster Booster and just put generous amounts of that on.
That's going to be too. You're better off with poo poo. If you,
okay,
you can tell I've been around a 3 year old. Poo poo, nanny, poo poo. Now the thing about the other product, which we can't name, which is more processed chicken poo, is quite strong. You can't use it like manure. It's a fertilizer, so you can definitely use it. But on a banana tree, you wouldn't want more than two cups full. But if it's like two bags of chicken poo, then bung on two full bags of chicken poo.
Oh, well, in Byford here, there's people who sell, you know, horse poo by the bag.
Yep.
And what about sheep poo? Is that not...
Sheep poo's great. Enough? Horse poo breaks down very quickly. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but it breaks down really quickly. So horse poo, sheep poo, whatever you can get your hands on, Carl.
Okay, rightio. Well, that's really good news.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Good luck. Right. Thank you, Carl.
Support your local horses.
Support your local poo.
Your local poo-poo.
Local poo-poo. And your po-po.
And your po-po.
John is in Waikiki with a sad lemon. Hello, sad lemon, John.
Hello. Good morning, ladies.
Oh, I'm looking at your lemon in a pot.
That is my most successful lemon tree over 30 years.
Well, I'd be very disappointed with that myself, John. But you know, it's got lemons on it. Is that lemon a lots of lemon?
Maya one. Yeah, lots of lemons. I think.
Okay. Now, I have an issue with lots of lemons because 50% of them are absolute crackers, and they go gangbusters, and you get heaps of fruit, and then the other 50% are just
loser lemons.
Now, they are grown from a cutting, so it depends the health of the tree that the cutting comes from. The other thing that's happening now is with some of the citrus trees, they are grafted on a dwarf rootstock, and I reckon the dwarf rootstock is not a very strong rootstock. I think we need to, I don't know, change rootstocks. If yours was a grafted one, do you know if it was, John?
I think it is a grafted one. Yeah.
Yeah, so the graft is incompatible with the rootstock because after that many years, if I had my lemon tree looking like that, it would have gone in the compost bin about 10 years ago.
This is only 3 years old, that one.
Oh, that one's only 3 years old?
And I've taken 30 or more lemons, small lemons off it.
Oh, well, that's all right.
But they never grow any bigger than a marble sort of thing, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, you need to actually repot that. Now, with citrus, you need a wider rather than a deeper pot. You want wide because they have all surface root systems. So you need to take it out of that pot, get a really nice big wide pot. Make sure the pot is on legs, up off the ground so it's free draining. Get really good quality compost, good quality potting mix. Mix it with compost, bit of biochar and a bit of poo. Off you go.
Excellent. There you go. Diagnosed, fixed. Thank you, John. And now we're heading off to Busselton with Lynn.
Oh, good morning. Very briefly.
She's very busy, Lynn.
You're
isn't
very
she?
Busy. You're just
doing?
Coming in the door there, Lynn.
With your bags and...
Pardon. No, okay. I had some palms removed.
Yes.
And, of course, I've got 6 million palm seedlings coming up now.
Yeah.
I've tried the naughty straight weed killer on it.
Yeah.
But now it didn't work. I'm now thinking kerosene or what can I use?
Well, it depends if you want to be able to plant in that area again. Yeah, so I wouldn't just be spraying kerosene all over the place.
I'm going to cut them off and dab them with kerosene.
I would go fire. I reckon. No, you can buy these little gas flame-throwing things and you just burn them, Lynn. They don't come back.
I would love that.
I know, it's fun.
Yeah.
Don't do it on a windy day. But, you know, even... Even some people use the, you know, you get the little ones in the kitchen for when you're making cream caramel and you're toasting the top. You can hire these little, the painters use them to get the root system of ivy off walls, off brick walls.
I was hoping for a flamethrower, actually, but never mind.
No, well, you can. You just need to be very careful using it. So I would go that. I would burn them off.
Oh, I definitely will do that. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Okay, bye.
Happy customer. I do happy enjoy customer. That. Let's go to a couple of texts. Did you say that? Yes, we've done that. Sorry. We have a prunus tree that's looking very unwell. Over the years, lichen has crept onto it. Hmm. Could that be the problem?
No.
What I am certain of is that it may need a good soak and some sea salt to spark it up. Should we prune the dead branches now, says Julian.
Julian, I would prune the dead branches in March. Lichen will not kill a tree. Okay, so there's this symbiotic relationship. You don't ever need to worry about lichen on your tree. Now, the seaweed drenches are not so much for the health of the plant, but for the health of the soil. You can certainly try that, and definitely some trace elements.
Excellent. Robin in Albany asks, my banana passion fruit is lush and green, full of flowers but no fruit, 12 months old, given it a dose of sulfate of potash about a month ago.
You do not want a banana passion fruit. They are a shocking weed.
Okay.
Take it out now.
Scott in Vic Park says, love the show, Amber and team. Fair dinkum. What will Mark Gibson talk about after the switch on Monday? Who knows?
Who knows? You'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
The anticipation is great.
what else have we got here? We've got the Maya lemon. That's sad. Now, my mango tree in Bayswater, it has started raining mangoes. It's 20 years old from seed and took 10 years to fruit. Birds leave them alone, but rats are an issue, and I use something or other to control fruit fly.
Yeah.
So what's he just telling us about rats, I suppose, there?
Yeah. Now, I've found this device that has been developed in New Zealand for killing possums. They've got a smaller version for killing rats.
Oh.
It's a cracker. It's yes. Like the same... Just sends a spear straight through the rat's head. I'm going to get one of those, and I'll give people an update on how it works.
Okay. Sabrina, any tips on caring for my fairy magnolias? They just don't thrive and have some yellow leaves in Busselton.
Okay, so the soil's too sandy, no micronutrients. You need to get compost, biochar, lots of trace elements, foliar spray trace elements, keep building up the soil, keep the water up in summer. I love fairy magnolias. They're so beautiful.
Oh, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is another edition of Roots and Tooch. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.